Shivas Nava Vafe Tairas Hashem Tevima Tairas Hashem Tevima Tairas Hashem Tevima Shivas Nava Yeinuz Hashem Hashem, we should all feel the genuine Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Hanhal of the Yeshiva, for giving us this opportunity to learn in a new Beis Medrash, in a new building. Every Haskalah is special, but a Haskalah like this, I think we can really appreciate the potential that exists within this Haskalah. Rabbi Yerucham Ruvavitz, Mashkiach in the Mir, has a maimer that appears in Parshas Bamidbar on the Inyan of Haskalah. Those of you who would like a copy, I have some extra copies afterwards I can leave for you. And he brings Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos and Perek Gimel. The Mishnah says that someone who has maisim that are greater than their chachma, chachmasam is kayemes. And Rabbeinu Yonah asks the obvious question, how is it possible for somebody to be chachmaso? If you don't know, then what value is it to the actions, to the deeds? If you don't know what you're doing, you don't know what to do. Rabbeinu Yonah explains an incredible thing. He says that what we're referring to here is the power of Kabbalah. The power of Nasa V'Nishma. Klal Yisrael also didn't know all that the Torah demands, but they committed themselves to everything that the Torah demands of them, even without knowing what that commitment entailed. But they understood that they were going to do it, they were going to see it through and follow through and keep it. And with that Kabbalah comes schar, as if they had fulfilled everything. That's chachmasa merubin mechachmasa. Rabbeinu Yonah also elaborates on the same yesod in Shari Tshuva. This is a sefer that's one of the classic Musaf Sfarim, the many, many Yeshivas learned during this man of Elul. Rabbeinu Yonah writes at Shar Beis Os Yud that from the time that a person makes a commitment in their machshava to do whatever it is, a midah tova, a mitzvah, kana l'nafsho schus u'schar al kol ha-mitzvos. With that commitment comes tremendous schar. It brings a mechilta in Parashas Bo, vayelchu vayasu b'nei Yisrael. That's when the parsha relating to Karban Pesach, they heard various halachas of Karban Pesach, vayelchu vayasu, but they didn't do it until the 14th of Nisan, and they were told this days earlier. The answer is, kemen shekiblu aleihem lasos, male aleihem akosuv, ki lasu miyad. With the commitment came the schar, as if they had fulfilled it. Without even carrying it out, and says Rabbi Yerucham, and even if something happens, an onus occurs, and you're not able to keep that which you committed, the schar still remains for you. Rabbi Yerucham goes on to elaborate on this idea, and he says that everything about the world has this yisod built into it. Everything in the world has a bekoach and a bepoel. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, but there was a creation on Yom Rishon, which was Yesh Meayin, and then there was everything else in the rest of the Shesh Yisimei Breishis, which was really a form of Yesh Meyesh. Rashi quotes that all the aspects of the Bria were created on Yom Rishon. The Ramban, in his way, develops the same idea, that there was some matter that came into being, and from that matter, each of the various aspects of the creation were formed from that. So the notion of a racist, the notion of a Kabbalah, that's the bringing into existence the Bekoach. When you have the commitment, there's already the potential to realize the commitment. And then the Bepoel is to realize it afterwards, the following through. If you don't have a Bekoach, says Rabbi Yerucham, you can't have a Bepoel. It's just haphazard. It's not really going to be sustained. It doesn't have merit very much. It's just coincidental. But to the extent that there's a roadmap, there's an approach, there's a commitment, then everything that happens is a realization of that bekoach, and so on and so forth. The same yisod, wherever you look, you see it when it comes to kodshim. So the notion of pigul is a problem in the machshava. If you have a machshava that was shelo lechol in this man, but chutz lizmano, then there's a problem that you chayv kares, even if you did it right afterwards, but the machshava was wrong. And if the machshava was correct, then it doesn't come to the level of pigul. And so Rav Yerucham concludes here in the last paragraph of this maimer. He says, "Achshav amdimanu achshav aschaloso shozman." I thought it was quite appropriate to bring this maimer in to your attention. We're standing in the beginning of his man. Sarach kol echad leida zeh ha'inyan. B'tchilas hazman yochel ha'adam leida kol hatzlachaso atzof hazman. From the beginning of this man, a person can know the nature of the hatzlacha through the whole man. The more that you can tap into the koach of what a reishis is, the more that you can live with the understanding that a Kabbalah now has a tremendous force. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you tzchar as if you fulfilled it. It has to be a genuine Kabbalah, it has to be through and through. To that extent will you hopefully have the siyata d'shmaya to actually realize the Kabbalah and Yetzer Hashem to grow in every way. We have an amazing opportunity. We have a new Beis Medrash, but it's also Machayev. It also means that we have to recognize that the obligations that are there for us are that much greater. We have an opportunity to grow that much more. We have to be able to realize the opportunities that are there for us and make the most of them. So, Mirtz Hashem, every one of us has, obviously, goals that we want to attain over the course of the Zman, over the course of the years ahead. Make that commitment. Tell yourself, whatever it takes, we're going to go for it. It's important to use every minute of Seder properly. It's important to have Kviyus at night as well, night Seder, other learning. But make it real. Make it a real commitment. Because if you anchor yourself with that, then everything else will fall into place. There's obviously challenges that you have to work out. It's not like you're learning the entire day. You have to take every part of the day seriously. At the same time, to the extent that you have the anchor, and you feel that is an anchor, to that extent, everything else hopefully will get the hatzlacha that it needs as well. But if you just kind of drift here and there, then at the end of the day, you hope, you know, it shouldn't happen. But we find, unfortunately, that things happen and you crash and it's hard to come back. At the same time, we should also know, just like there's a haschala right now, there's a haschala every day, and every day is its own unit, and every day should have that same koach haschala. If for whatever reason there's a particular day that doesn't work out, it's not as if all is lost. You come back, create a new beginning, a new kabbalah, a new haschala, and from that, hopefully, will come a momentum to be able to, again, get back on track and to find hatzlach. I know that there are many here in the shir who've been in the shir before, and there are others who are new. I hope Mietz Hashem over the next couple of days and weeks to get to know all of you personally. I try to develop a personal kesher with everybody in the shir, and we'll hopefully have time to have, besides just the regular shir time, opportunities to get together, whether it be a Shabbaton and other occasions, to be able to farbengzach a little bit. That's all part of the experience of learning and growing and learning. The derech of the shir, probably you all recognize and you know, you've heard, is very much of a daf shir. I'm not giving you necessarily all the ideas that there are to know about the particular topic, but we try to understand the sugya from the sugya, from the daf itself. It's important when you prepare. I give you Maamar Kolmos to give you focus, and I focus on those rishonim that I think are relevant to bring out the pshat of the sugya, the map of the sugya, if you will. It's important though to, you know, you can't just go through the Maamar Kolmos like, you know, okay, I read it, check off on the list, okay, I went through that. It has to do with connecting with yourself, and if you don't have the full grasp of the sugya and the Rashi and the Tosfos, you can't necessarily go on and look at Rishonim. It's important, everyone in their own way, everyone has their own way of thinking, when you open a Gemara, open a Rashi, make sure you understand what's being said. Say it over to your chavrusa. Let them reflect it back to you. The same thing with the Tosfos. There should be a feeling in your head that what you have in the Gemara is clear. What's being said. As you begin to speak it out, think it through, questions will come up. Very often those questions will be mentioned in the Rishonim. And so you begin to feel it's one integrated experience. It's not just like, okay, there's a Gemara, and next thing I know, there's a Machlokes Rishonim somewhere, and there's a Ksos somewhere, and then it's not really relating back to the Sugya. What I hopefully will be able to do is feel the connection between the important yesodos that come out from the sugya and the sugya itself, and to see it within the sugya, within the Rishonim. And you know, it takes time. If you're new to this, it takes time to get a little bit accustomed to it. And Yetz Hashem, it's the rewards and the dividends will come. It's not always like every day or every shiur is going to be seventh heaven. Maybe first heaven, second, but not always, the feeling of it all fits together beautifully like a masterpiece. It's not always that way. The Torah has to do with Yigia. Yigia sometimes can be frustrating. There's a struggle, there's an encounter, there's a svar, it doesn't seem to make sense, it doesn't all come together. You're going to have to recognize that there's a process, and if you see it through, you begin to feel that you can reap the benefits of that process. But I don't want there to be any illusions. You know, it's not like we're going to come out every day. It's going to be a perfect masterpiece. There are going to be loose ends. There are going to be inyanim that we see today that we're going to be revisiting. Teskes Habatim is one of the classic prakim in Shas for yeshivas. And there's a lot of yesodos here dealing with notions of muhsik, cheskas marakama, cheskas mamon. And these inyanim come up again and again and again over the course of the perek. So we're beginning to scratch the surface, but understand that we're not going to get to the end of it we're even going to get to really fully understand it until we get further and further into the perek. It's a kind of perek that you learn and you want to revisit again after we finish, let's say even to the next Mishnah, halvai we should get there, lamid lamid ches, so then go back to chaf ches, and then, you know, look at some of the earlier sugyas in light of the later sugyas. That's the nature of this limud. We have amazing opportunities to learn from one another. I like to feel that this year is one unit. Now that we have the opportunity to learn pretty much together in the same Beis Medrash, we should feel a connection to everyone else in this year, especially those who've been this year a little longer. Feel free to make those who are coming to this year for the first time to feel comfortable. We have an official shir assistant. Menachem has been in this year. I'm losing track, Menachem. How many years has it been? Number six. Okay, see, I lost track, but you didn't. Menachem is, Baruch Hashem, is married a year ago. Is it not quite? Okay, Mitzvah Hashem coming up on the first anniversary. Shana Rishona still. Menachem is a wonderful resource. You should definitely make use of his resources and in whatever way. Ephraim, who has been the shir assistant and will be here just for a few weeks, while you're here, we'll put you to work, Ephraim. So take advantage as well, in a good way, of Ephraim. Logistics like chavrusas, those of you who don't yet have chavrusas, we'll probably work through Menachem to try to find chavrusas for you. Hopefully there'll be a good match. If not, so then, you know, we'll see if we can try to rearrange. The main thing is, again, that everyone should feel comfortable in the learning and not to have a feeling of, you know, it's I don't know what I'm getting into. But you should know, if you feel after a day or two, I don't like to feel like you have to stay if it's not right for you. If after a day or two or three, you feel like the shiur is not quite what you're looking for, I really don't have any tightness whatsoever. I think it would be good to talk it through, maybe with me, maybe with Menachem, just to get a feeling. Maybe there's an idea of a shiur that would be better based on what you're looking for, based on your level. So sometimes I could make a suggestion that would be appropriate, and you don't have to feel embarrassed. If for whatever reason it doesn't feel like it's the right shiur for you, I would encourage you to come over and we could talk it over and see if there's another option that's better. At the same time, if you are here and it's a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, then I think at that point you should know if it's right, then it's right. It shouldn't be a feeling like, separate from the office, they have their own cheshbonus in terms of how it works and someone can leave and not leave. But I just think Derech Eretz Yashrus dictates that if you're in the shiur and you feel like you're getting something from the shiur and it feels like it's it's something that you're gaining from. So then it's always a feeling, oh, maybe something different, maybe something else. So come a new Zaman, a new semester, and we can look at other options. But after, I think, 2-3 weeks, it should be clear that if you're in this year, you know, that you're here, and you'll hopefully reap the benefits of what we have, you know, in this year to offer. Okay. Any questions before we begin the new Mishnah? Any questions that anyone had? Specific questions? Okay, so what we want to just offer a bracha that we should have all of us tremendous hatzlacha in our learning in every way. And Torah is not just the learning Torah, it's a transformation of the personality. It should affect our midos and the way that we relate to one another. And we recognize it's not just intellectual exercise, but it's really something that is a mekadesh. And we should have that incredible hatzlacha that comes with Limud HaTorah, and we should never take the privilege that we have for granted. So many individuals your age don't have the tremendous schus that you have to be able to be osik and havayis dabayi v'rava, to come in and to learn a perka cheska sabbatim, and it's not something to be taken for granted. It's not something to be taken lightly. So we should never lose sight of the wonderful push that we have to be able to be osik in Baruch Hashem and to be learning it on the level that we're learning. I do have a roster. I think maybe we'll wait a little bit. If there'll be time today after Shir, if not maybe tomorrow, beginning of Shir, begin to go through some of the names. But let's get ourselves into the perek. Is anyone need Mar Makomos that didn't receive Mar Makomos yet? So a couple I can have a few new copies passed it around. Anyone else? Sure. These Mar Makomos, don't think they're good for one day. If you realize by now, it's not for one day, it's for a couple of days at a time. This should take us for a few days. Zok the Mishnah. Cheskas, habatim, v'aboros, v'ashichim, v'hamaoros, v'ashovachos, v'merchatzos, u'beis abadim, u'beis ashalchim, והעבודים, וכל שהוא עושה פירוס תדיר, חסקסן שלוש שנים יום ליום. The Mishnah lists a whole number of things that have one characteristic in common. They are osa peros tadir. Also, they are forms of karka, batim, it's attached to the ground, and all the others are forms of karka. They have a status of karka, avodim ahukshu karkos, Rabbeinu Gershom says. But the point that the Mishnah is driving at is that they are oser peros tadir. They produce the benefits that you reap from these things on a constant basis. And therefore, the Mishnah tells us, cheskasan shalosh shanim miyom liyom. In order to have a chazaka, a title of ownership, you need 3 years every day, full 3 years. Now, what is a chazaka that we're dealing with here? This is already spoken out by the Ritva. We talk about chazaka on karka, and we could be thinking of two different things. There's a world called cheskas kinyan, and there's a world that we're dealing with called cheskas raya. Cheskas kinyan, it's actually a Mishnah in Kedushin. It's also in Mishnah later in cheskas abatim at the end of Daf Mem Beis Amid Aleph. If someone wants to take title of a field, let's say it's a field of Hefker, the case in the Mishnah Membeis, Nichse Hager, the Ger died, there are no Yorshim. So one of the ways, in that case, the only way, is to make a chazaka on the karka, as referred to in the Mishnah as Noa Gadar Uparatz. You build something, let's say a gate, a fence, a lock, a door in the field. There are details, of course, what exactly is Noa. But the basic principle is that you do an act in the Guf HaKarka. That is a way to show bailus, and that is a way to acquire that field. That's true by Nichsi Hager. It's also true if somebody wants to sell you a piece of real estate. So there you have the option of Kesef and Star, but you also have the option of Chazaka. If the Mocher will tell you, Lei Chazek Ukni, go ahead and acquire it, make a Chazaka on it, and you do so, you now become the owner. That's the Maisa Chazaka of Cheskas Kinyan. That's not what we're dealing with. This is called Cheskas Raya. Rashi Ray tells us the story. We'll elaborate in a minute. In other words, you claim that you bought the field from somebody. That somebody claims that you never did buy the field. And now the question is, who's right? There's a din Torah, there's a ma'arer. The ma'arer is the one who lodges a complaint saying it's my field. And you're the machzik, you're the one that's sitting on the field right now, squatter, you're on the field, you're in the house, whatever the case might be here, and you claim that I bought it from you. Now, if you have a raya that you bought it, there's nothing to talk about. I could have a shtar. The shtar says that I bought the field. So then obviously I bought the field. If I have Eidim, the same thing. But if I don't? So now the Mishnah tells us at a certain point in time, we can now assume that I'm right and I bought the field. And that amount of time, says the Mishnah, depends on Osa Perus Tadir, says the Mishnah, Cheskasan Shalashanim Miyom Liyom, 3 years, three full years, I have to have the Eidim that support that reality, that I was on this field doing what a person does for that period of time. And then I win. Then I'm considered to be correct in my claim. That's the issue of Cheskas Habatim, Cheskas Raya. The Ritva points out, Cheskas Kin, Cheskas Raya are not synonymous, even in terms of what it is that it takes to establish Chazakah. Cheskas Kinyan is about Noa Gadau Paras. So something called Nir, we'll see in Atosis and the Gemara Lamed Vav, Nir is a form of Noa Gadau Paras. You're sticking your shovel in the ground, you're beginning to soften the ground. That's appropriate Cheskas Kinyan. When it comes to Cheskas Raya, there's a whole Sugya Daf Lamed Vav where the Nir is a Chazakah, and the Manda Omar Nir Lo Havi Chazakah, because the issue of Cheskas Raya in our sugya has to do with what's going to arouse the other person. We're calling him the Marakama. We'll see Marakama means exactly. We establish that he has been the previous owner. He's called the Marakama. And what would arouse his ire that he would protest, make a macha and say, you can't be on this karka. Either he'll come over and kick him off the karka, or he'll officially tell to Eidim, here, let it here be known that I intend to take this person to Beis Din because he has no right to be on this land, he's a thief. That's called a macha. So what's going on in Cheskas Raya is the question of the Marakama and his non-reaction. We'll see how much that is critical to defining the Chazakah. Clearly, it's an important element, but the exact makeup, the composition of the relationship between the lack of macha and my act of chazaka, that has to be worked out, and we'll see the many shittas in this. But clearly a critical piece of Cheskas Dimushanim is the fact that I did something that should have caused you to protest. You, the Marakam. Says the Gemara, possibly by Nir, that's not such a Maisa Chazaka. That's not called I'm acting as a Bailim in such a way that you should protest. Because your reaction could very well be, what do I care? It's very good for me that you're making the land softer and you're plowing it, because now you're doing all the work for me. What can be better than that? So therefore, Nir is not a Chazaka in terms of Cheskas Raya. That's one view in the Gemara Lamed Vav. And yet, Nir is certainly a Cheskas Kinyan. On the other hand, says the Ritva, one of the main aspects of Cheskas Raya, of Cheskas Habatim, is what we call Achilas Peros. The harvesting of the fruit, the bringing in, as we'll see in the later part of Mishnah, Kanesas Tevuah, so bringing it into the house. That's certainly Cheskas Raya. You do that over the course of the 3 years, you have a Cheskas Raya, you win without a star. And says the Ritva, that would not work with Cheskas Kinyan. If I want to acquire the land that you want to sell me, or Nirtzeh Hager, you need Noa Gadol Paras. Achilas Peros would not be good enough. That's what Ritva says. The truth is, truth be told, I don't want to hide the facts from you, there is a Shitas HaRambam, which we'll see on Chavtas on the base for the first time, and it's later in the Perek as well. The Rambam seems to blur somewhat these distinctions. The Rambam seems to say that Achilas Peros would actually serve as Cheskas Kinyan as well. Maybe he has a Malka in the Gemara Chavtas on the base, he has other Gemaras later. In other cases, the Gemara seems to be talking about Cheskas Raya, but the Rambam applies to the Cheskas Kinyan. It has to do with the pshat of a sugya later on Daf Nun Zayin. good. It's not, you know, it's a sugya. The Rambam may distinguish between Nechsi Ager and Chazaka from somebody else. The Gemara seems to discuss the nature of whether what's a Chazaka for Cheskas Kinyan or Cheskas Rai would be good for Cheskas Kinyan. The bottom line is the Ritva wants, well, we want to get from this Ritva is to recognize that when we see Cheskas Abatim, understand that this is not the Mishnah Kedushin of Nagada or Paratz or the Mishnah of Nambeis. That's acquiring something. Here, we're using the chazak in the sense that we presume that you are in fact the owner, that you bought it. When you bought it, you made a kinyan, okay. But the question is it yours, is it not yours? That's the beginning of our perek. That is one important point that the Ritva notes. There's another important point that the Ritva spells out here, and that is, what evidence is there that this ma'arer, this person who says it's my land, that it ever was his land? Does he have a raya? Does he have Aden? What if he doesn't? Is it still requiring me to have cheskas gimel shanin? So here the Ritva and Rabbeinu Yonah also both point out that the case of our Mishnah to discuss cheskas shalosh shanin is that there is a marakama. The marakama means he has been established to be a marakama. We know that he was a prior. In a prior point, in possession of this land, he was the owner in an earlier stage. Even if all you have for him is that there were Edom that he lived there for one day, that's enough to establish what we call Cheskas Marakama. There's a principle called Cheskas Marakama. When we speak about Cheskas Abatim, who wins? Do I have a Chazaka? Cheskas Rai? Do I not? What we have here is we're pitting the Machzik, calling in the machzik, the one who's on the land now, and his claim that it's mine, I bought it from you. We're pitting him against the ma'arer, the one who's making the claim that it's his land, and we're calling him the marakama, the previous owner. But I know he's a marakama. He has Adam, he's a marakama. But I say, yeah, you're the marakama, and you have your Adam, that you're a marakama, but I bought it from you, and I'm on the land now. And the question is, who wins? And that's where Cheskas Shalosh Shanim comes to solve, to give us a psak based on the fact that I have the Edim, that I was here for 3 years, I win. And we presume that I'm in fact correct in my taina that I bought the land from you. But this is assuming, says the Ritva, that the Ma'arer, the one who's making the claim, has Edim, that he was a Marakama. Even if he was just here for one day, that's enough to establish the Marakama. He has a Chazakah. We're calling him a chazaka of a marakama. It's called cheskas marakama. Again, chazaka from the same terminology as cheskas abatim. Am I the one that we presume to be correct, that I bought it? Or are you the one that's presumed to be correct? So it's in a certain sense his claim that I'm the one that's right. It's my possession. I'm a marakama. Let's say there are no edim. That, let's say Reuven and Shimon, bring it down to names, right? Reuven comes to Shimon, is that the case in the Rambam? Who's Reuven, who's Shimon in the Rambam? Who remembers?
Shimon comes to Reuven.
Okay, fine, so do it the Rambam's way. Good. Reuven is sitting on the field, Shimon is the Marakama, and Shimon says, what are you doing in my field? My boss, Bayara, all these cases. And Reuven on the field says, I bought it from you. So if he has Gimushanim, he wins. If he doesn't, he loses. This is all assuming that Shimon is again the Marakama, Shimon has Edom as the Marakama. Let's say Shimon doesn't have Edom, but Reuven admits it. Listen, you were there first, I bought it from you. So now, what happens if I don't have Gimel Shimon? Who wins? Do I need a chazaka in that case? But I told you, I admit it. I didn't have to admit it. But I admitted that you're the Marakam. He didn't have the Edom to prove it. Says the Ritva, it's a Mefurash Mishnah in Ksuvis, in the second parak. It's one of the examples that the Mishnah refers to as what we call Peh She'asar Peh She'hiter. I hope some of these terms are familiar. I don't know all of you well enough, but you should get familiar with a lot of these terms. Peh She'asar Peh She'hiter. We're going to see a lot of this in Cheskas Abatim. The mouth that made usser, that same mouth released, made mutter. One example in that Mishnah. A woman says, Eshes isha yisi ugrusha ani. Take a look at some point in the Mishnah here in second parak in Ksuvos. I was an Eshes ish, now you're assuming she is an Eshes ish, but she says this at the same time, but I'm a grusha. Now you don't know that she's an Eshes ish except because she admitted it. Pesha asa pesha hitir. You can't take the admission that she's an Eshes ish without also taking the what she says a minute later, that I was divorced. What exactly is Pesha Asa based on?
Migo.
So the most obvious answer is Migo, and there's a rias to that from many Gemara in Bechoros, even the Gemara itself in Ksuvos, I think, and from Tosus and numerous places in Shas. I didn't have to say anything. Migo is another Yisod we're going to see a lot about. The parameters of Migo, when Migo works. But if I offer one taina, and I could have offered a different taina, and won with that, so then Migo gives me the koach that I win, because mali l'shaker, why would I lie? If I was really lying, I would have said the other thing, which for sure would have won with. So if I offer this taina, I win as well. That's Migo. So pesha asa, pesha yiter, certainly could be understood in the way that Migo is understood. I'd have to say anything. Here it's not just I could have said the other thing, I could have not said what I said. So therefore, believe me, grushani, because I didn't have to say it was an eshes ish at all. The other example given in the Mishnah in Ksuvos that the Ritva refers to in our case is if I admit that you are the Marakama, but I want you to know I bought it from you, and you don't have any edim that you're the Marakama. So now, again, pesha asa, pesha hiter, how do you know that he's a Marakama from me? But I also tell you something else. I didn't just say that you're the Marakama, I said I bought it from you. So therefore, I win even though I don't have a cheskas gimushan. And therefore, the Ritva establishes that the case of our Mishnah Ben Yon as well points out is obviously there's a marakama, but we know he's a marakama independent of the taina of the machzik. But I know he's a marakama. Yo.
If the marakama is ma'ar before the machzik says anything, is that also because of the asar?
Because as long as he doesn't have edim, he's a marakama. It always becomes a pesha asa. Because just because you say you're the marakama doesn't mean you're a marakama. So if I could easily say that you what do you mean? Get away from here. You have nothing to do with this field. I was always here. It's my family's from way back when. And then no one could force me to get off the karka. So therefore, if you have to come on to my confession that you're the marakama, then you can't take that and use it against me if I also say that I bought it from you. So therefore, we have to understand that the Mishnah is talking about such a case, that he knows the marakama. And yet, unless I have gimel shanim, then we believe who? We believe the marakama. That's the principle of the Mishnah. We'll see the details of gimel shanim in the various cases, beis habal, we've seen the hemshach ha-mishnah. Right now we're just using the notion gimel shanim. That's what the Mishnah starts. Gimel shanim miyom liyom. Now here we have to establish something very basic. Again, very kloyistic, very general. Yesodos, just to get ourselves oriented. This is karka. All these cases are karka. Right? These forms of karka, and the halacha is, in order to believe the one who's on the karka, if you have the marakama, then you need shalashan. If I don't have the marakama, I don't have edim on the marakama, he could say what he wants, he's a marakama, but he doesn't have edim, then I win without any shalashan, even up near right now. What's the halacha by metalkalin? If you have an object in your possession, and I come and I say that I that's mine. What are you doing with it? It belongs to me. That pen is mine. Yeah. And you say that you bought it from me. So what's the halacha? Hamot shmech velo haraya. You win because you're holding on to it. Wait, but I have edim that I was originally I owned this pen. I have edim, the equivalent of the marakama here. Nevertheless, you're holding it, you win. The muchzik wins immediately. We call that cheskas metaltelin. Cheskas metaltelin is a principle that the Rishonim articulate in various ways based on the Gemara in Shavuos Mem Vav. Chazaka, and other places, Chazaka, koma shetachas yad adam harehu shalo. We presume that if it's in your possession, it's yours, you're holding it. We presume it's yours. The Gemara says in Memvav in Shavuos, Achzuki inish began v'lo machzikinan. We don't suspect a person of being a thief. So if it's in your possession, then the assumption is it's yours. And therefore, notwithstanding the fact that I have the raya that I was once the owner, but if you're holding it now and you have a taina that says, listen, it's mine now because I bought it from you, you win. Cheskes mitaltrin. And so the question that begs itself when we begin to read this Mishnah is, what's the difference? Why, when it comes to mitaltrin, do we assume that cheskes mitaltrin is immediate? It's immediate. If you're holding it, the object is in your possession, then I can't win with Marakama. You win because it's by you. And when it comes to karka, suddenly there is no such principle. Unless you have gimushanim, which is a new idea, cheskes gimushanim, and we'll have to see all the sources for this and the basis of it. But at the same time, if it's less than gimushanim, Marakama wins. Why does Marakama win by cheskes metaltrin? Because you have cheskes metaltrin, we presume it's yours. So why, when it comes to karka, don't we say the same thing? What's the difference between karka and metaltrin? That's a very fundamental question, and there's more than one answer. And we'll see from different rishonim different answers and approaches to this. Let's suggest a couple right now. And again, all these inyanim are going to have to be rethought about in light of later sugyas in this parak and other sugyas too. Again, let's just present a number of mahalchim. One svara, which you will see in the very beginning of the Gemara, the Ritva, in his first comment on the Gemara, which we'll get to probably in a few days, the Gemara says, Minainu chazaka shei gimushanim. So what was the Gemara asking? The Ritva says, the Gemara is asking, where 3 years come from? Mima nafshach. If it's like metaltalin, it should be right away. And if it's not like metaltalin, then why gimushanim? Why would it not be like metaltalin? The Ritva gives an explanation, and that would help us in terms of answering our question. The explanation is, says the Ritva, that when it comes to metaltalin, we had the Gemara mentioned in Shavuos, Achzuki inish began v'lo machzikinan. We don't assume a person is going to go into their friend's house and take something of theirs and bring it to their possession. We don't assume such a thing. A person is not presumed to be a ganav. So therefore, if it's in your possession right now, then your holding it is itself an indicator that it belongs to you. Because what's the alternative? You stole it? We don't assume people are going to have it. Therefore, the chazakah is established immediately because that which you're holding it is itself indicative of your bias, of your being the owner. That is metaltrin. But why is karka different? Because karka, it's not such a big deal for somebody to go into someone else's land. True, it's wrong, but it's not the same type of theft, if you will, where I'm going into your house and taking your object and bringing it to me. In that case, the tfisa by metaltalin is clearly indicating that it's mine. The fact that I'm sitting in your a piece of karka doesn't in the same way indicate, by virtue of my being there, that it's mine. Because it could very well be that I went into your land. It's not as strong a tfisa that's mochiach, that shows that I'm the bailiff. To quote the Lashon of the Ritva, just again, the very first piece of the Gemara, which we'll get to. Im tfisas en vayakim metaltalin. So the fact that I could easily come in there, so therefore it's not as much of a raya from the tfisa, from the holding on, it doesn't show as much that it's mine in the same way that holding something which is movable shows that it's mine. So it's a function of the tfisa. Let me elaborate, okay? Within cheskes metaltalin itself, there is a whole category where you do not have a chazaka right away. And that is what we call, for example, dvarim ha'asuyim lahashil lahaskir. Things that are commonly lent from one to the other. There's a whole Rambam on exactly how to define this, dvarim ha'asuyim pashat pshat. it's asui, if it's sometimes lent, that's called varma asuyim la'ashir la'askir. What is the problem there? If it's not, if it's something which commonly can go from one to the other, the problem is that your tefisa no longer is a strong indicator that it's yours, because it could be in your possession for a lot of reasons, even if it's not that you're a ganef, but it could have just been there because you borrowed it, you rented. So those types of metaltrin that are sui mashalaski, that's the sugin shvuas nevav, and also a bit later on the Mishnah in Chetkos Sabbat, those types of items would not have the chazaka immediately of cheskes metaltrin, because the tefisa doesn't necessarily show anything. Another example is Gemara on Lamed Vav, Godros. Godros, what are Godros, or both say? Godros. What? No, yeah, animals, right. Sheep. Gidroson. Sheep. Sheep go here, there, on their own, they wander. So therefore, someone has in their possession an animal and says, it's mine. There's a marakama, it says, it was mine. And they establish it's a marakama. So there's no chazaka cheskes metaltrin. Why? Because they could have gone from me to you just like that. Not that you're a thief, they just ended up in your possession. So your tefisa doesn't indicate that you're the bailiff. So therefore, what we're suggesting, therefore, in response to the question, why does cheskes karka need 3 years? Why can't you simply use the same notion of cheskes metaltrin, that it should be yours simply because you're there right now? So good, you're a marakama, but I'm there now. So the answer is, in light of what the Ritva said, and this is also mentioned by the Levush. The Levush is soon after the Shulchan Aruch, but it's patterned after the Seder of the Shulchan Aruch. On Simen Kuf Mem, he says this is exactly why Cheskes Karka is 3 years and not like Cheskes Metaltrin, because it could have just been that you went into the land on your own. Also the Maharit and Simen Lamed says the same exact svara. The point is, the tefisa is not, we could call it tefisa muchachas. That which you're holding it doesn't indicate that it's yours. It's analogous to cases like metaltrin, such as v'masim ha'shel ha'askir or godros, where also you don't have a chazaka right away. So according to this, it's not like cheskes karka is necessarily, get after 3 years left to know what happens. But in understanding what's going on in less than 3 years, it's basically analogous to cheskes metaltrin in a case where cheskes metaltrin doesn't work because the tefisa is not mochiach anything. So it's simply, it's not a new world. It's just that the reality of the case of karka would not lend itself to a tefisa muchachas, which is what is always necessary by cheskes metaltrin. This is one way to understand why we need a command to Shalosh Shanim. What we did not explain is why Shalosh Shanim doing exactly. What happened now with Shalosh Shanim? Is this now, because I have the 3 years and you didn't speak up, Mr. Marakama, so now that which I have it is viewed as what? As an indication that in fact it is mine, so it becomes like the case of Metaltrin right away, it's a Tfis Mulchachas, or is Shalosh Shanim a whole new idea, a whole new principle, a whole new concept that we have to obviously investigate further. All we're trying to understand is why it couldn't happen right away. So according to what we're saying now, because even by Metaltrin it has to be Mulchachas, and this is not called Mulchachas because he could have simply went into the Karak. Okay, a couple questions, Effie, and then Ezra, and then one and two. Go, yeah.
Rabbi is saying that the difference is that we don't assume that a person is going to be going to steal from someone else, or that it's harder to do. Meaning, it's not like from the Ritva's Lashon, is it that by going to someone else's land is easier to do, or it's not as big of a, I mean, we don't assume someone's going to be such a rasha that he's going to steal, but he would go into someone's land. Meaning, what's the nature of this?
It's not so far apart what he's saying. In other words, to go in to take from that person into your possession.
Is it a matter of difficulty, or is it a matter of like, we don't assume that a person would
look,
do
if
it?
We would assume you would do it, then it could be difficult, but if you could assume, obviously you have to start with the assumption in the Gemara that we don't assume you're a Gaza. That otherwise you can't build any chazaka metaltrin. But after you say that,
so why wouldn't we just say but by land where
no? But you see, because Sufko Suf, there is a it is a git, but look, you are doing an avera. Is it called a signo? That gets into the question of kaka nixelas. Does it Pashtus Takan and Negzeles doesn't mean that there's no lav. So there's a lav. Maybe there is no lav. Good, that you have to look into. But it's certainly not
that
right.
That alone wouldn't be...
Right. So obviously the fact that it's easier, you know. So, but at the same time, it could also be that you wouldn't do it because you wouldn't be a Gaza. And the answer is, but something like that you could be tempted to do. Right. So you have to assume all the time
it's
that you're not... Right, I think so.
Did this, happen in times of the Gemara? Because, now, I think, I think shoplifting would be, much more common than, someone squatting in my living room. I think it would be much more audacious. Was it just, a different... That was, the societal norm, this kind of happened? Because, I think kind of, the hevel of this far, the Rebbe was saying now, at least in terms of, modern society, it would be much more, audacious and shocking for someone to, squat in my house than it would be to have sticky fingers and, just take something off.
Well, you gave against that with shoplifting, but, here we're talking about going into somebody's house, and bring it into your place. So also, what's easier to do? You think it's easier to do Fran brings up the issue of what's easier.
Right.
If it's easier to do it, then you don't necessarily...
I thought Rebbe was saying it's less audacious of a person to, to squat in someone's land than to be mosuk.
I don't know if it's just a question of being audacious, less audacious. It's easier. I think the point in the Ritva, and I think the Levush as well, is that it's a lot. It can happen, and it doesn't take that much to do. You could see it partly in terms of my own inhibitions, but you could see it also in terms of the ease in which I could do it. I hear you saying, "What do you want to emphasize more?" I understand what you're driving at. I'm not 100% sure. Is it more a question of ease? Is it a question of what would my own moral conscience be? How I view it? I hear. I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. But at the end of the day, it could be a combination of both points. It could very well be a combination of both points. Bottom line is, with karka, clearly it's, it seems to be, part of it seems to be the ease in which it's done. I think that's part of it. The lesson of the Ritva, again, was more maybe in that direction. But I can also hear, in terms of, in my mind, it's not like I'm doing such a terrible thing. I just snuck into the land. Here, I brought it out. I took it out from where it was, and I brought it to me.
Squatting is passive because you're kind of there, but...
Yeah, it's there, right. It is there. I'm just coming on the land. So could very well be I'm not the owner, but I just snuck into the land. And it's there, and I just go into it.
The worth is the same.
What?
It doesn't lose any value.
Yeah, whereas here, to take the object, bring it to me, that would require more, and therefore the fact that it's by me, more likely it is mine. Yeah. A couple of other people had questions. Yeah?
I think that maybe it's not as much the subject of ease and the moral conscience of the specific person. Maybe it's more, there's no masik neighbor, masik kinyan. And then I was thinking, I don't know if that's true though, because I mean, Shino is kona with Metatlin, but Shino is also kona with Karka.
No, but Karka is a separate parsha by Gzeilu. Karka in Megzelis. The din is by Karka, Resha Chalufanecha, you could simply go and say, Shino is not kona, in fact. You can go and say, here it is, as it is.
So you said there's no Masa in the Chal, there's no Masa.
Yeah. Yes, so I'm saying, so because there's no Maisa, therefore, so you have to still define it. So because there's no Maisa, therefore, it's more, it could have very well happened. And it doesn't show that I'm the owner.
Anymore, doesn't apply that we don't see everyone's a
Ghanif
because he's not a
Ghanif. No, the contrary. You're saying by Karka, you could very well be a Ghanif. Your being there doesn't indicate that it's yours, because you could very well have just snuck into someone else's Karka. That's what they're saying.
We're not assuming that he's a Ghanif because he's not a Ghanif.
No. To the contrary, the reason why it's not a Chazak is because, for all we know, it's really his. It's not yours. So that means if it's not yours, then what are you? I'm not talking about halachically you violate a sigzo. I'm talking about whether it belongs to you or not. So obviously, to say it's not a chazaka is to assume that you did something wrong. But the point is, why do we say that? Because we don't see your being there as an indicator that you are the bailam. Why? Because I could very easily sneak into somebody's car.
All this that we're saying now, it seems to make it confusing with the Rabbeinu Yonah says about being. That if you have a deed that you were there, for one day, then we say it's Bishkas Kach Shalom, but the Marakama. All he needs is to have a deem that he was there for one day. We're saying that it was so easy for someone to sneak onto the land. Is it the fact that the Rabbeinu Yana says, as long as there's a deem that he was there for one day, and there wasn't any owners there before, and that's why there's a chazakah that it's his? Because like we're saying it's so easy. Okay, so he was there for a day, and there was a deem that he was there for a day, but he just snuck there for a day.
That's interesting. You were saying something very interesting. The Marakama can be established even if I have only a deem that's there for a day. That's correct. That's correct. Correct. And that's why, if there is no Marakama, that I win because I'm on the Karka right now. Right? But once it's established that he's a Marakama, now the question is, can I win against him? And if I don't have Gimel Shanim, then I don't win. Because for all I know, I snuck in. Maybe he snuck in too. Okay, fine. But meanwhile, he's the Marakama. So how do you win against the Marakama? You're saying, according to this Svara, no, the answer is, if there'll be a Marakama against him, then he'll lose to that Marakama. You're asking an interesting question. You're saying, to the extent that this Svara is a valid Svara, then why is Darba Chadyom enough to establish Marakama? Okay, I hear you, Ha'ara. It's not a bad Ha'ara. In other words, it's interesting. But Lamaisa, it's not inconceivable that, to the extent that you don't have a previous Marakama that has proven his title, in other words, everything is a matter of degree. It's not tfisa muchachas vis-a-vis someone before him. But obviously, if there's no one before him, to the extent it does suggest something, doesn't it? If I'm living there for a day, it does suggest. That's why if there's no Marakama against me, if I admit that you're the Marakama, but I have the Pesha Asar, he doesn't have Edim, so then I win. Because I'm there now. Maybe I just snuck in. Yep, the answer is maybe not, right? So I'm on the karka right now. So the issue is, given the fact that there is a Marakama and there is a koach, the Cheskes Marakama, how defining Cheskes Marakama is itself a world unto itself? What exactly is Cheskes Marakama? Is it like a form of Cheskes Mammon? We'll get to all of this. But it's a koach of Cheskes Marakama. So how does it become Marakama? The Rishonim say because they have the Edim that they were there for a day. But now, vis-a-vis that, I have my claim that I bought it from you. So if you have the Cheskes Marakama, now no longer do I have a Tfisa Muchachas, because it could be I just snuck into your karka. But I hear your point.
When the Marakama does not have Edim, so we say that the Machzik is believed because of Pesha Asar or Pesha Edim.
If the Machzik is the one who admitted that he is a Marakama, and he also says he bought it from him, then he wins. Yeah.
But as long as
he wins because he's a muchzik at the end of the day. But the point is, in other words, because Pesha Asa Peshid just brings us back to square one. What is square one? The karka is by him. He doesn't have Cheskes Gimel Shanim, but it still wins. So that's where I asked you. That's where the question came up. So why is Cheskes Metaltrin? What does that work even against the Marakama? Because he's holding it now, and why being on the karka now is not equivalent to Cheskes Metaltrin that should win even against the Marakama.
But like the Ma'ar, it's like once the Ma'ar doesn't have Edim, the Mapsik shouldn't even need a Pesha Asa. You should just say, okay, I have it.
Okay. But I mean, but let's imagine, like, if he said nothing, he certainly wins. In a Chanami, the Ritva said, even if I was Moda, if I say nothing to you, and you have no, you're not a Marakama. Okay, so I understand. You're also right. But if I admit you're the Marakama, so now you're the Marakama. But the answer is, but I also said that I bought it from you. That's what the Ritva is getting at from the Mishnah Ksubas. Rabosai, this is one Mahalach. Yeah. So this is what you were ma'or before that question. Why, in other words, if he only became Marakama because of one day, the Teretz is, once you have Edom Darba Chad Yoma, you have status quo Marakama. You have a Chazak, you're presumed to be the owner. Now it takes another Koach that's going to win over your, beat you. And you have your Koach of Marakama. At the end of the day, he's there for, let's say, a week, but he doesn't have Gimel Shanim. The answer is yeah, but the fact is he's a Marakama already. He's established as a Marakama. That's what's interesting about it. In other words, there's other issues that play out also, which we'll soon get into. But at this point, maybe we don't need that. Just the fact that once he's established as a Marakama, that gives him a title of sorts, a koach in this karaka because of Marakama. Now we don't know if you bought it from him or not. And so that's the din. Less than give a shanim, you lose. At this point, we're suggesting you lose, I mitaltlin, you would win. The equivalent case? The answer is no, but mitaltlin as well. Were it to be a case of mitaltlin that your tfisa doesn't show that you're the owner, such as Godros and so on, you would not win. So karka is equivalent to such a case. From the Rambam, it would appear that the pshat is a little bit differently. The issue of why karka cannot be established, the chazak cannot be established by karka unless in gimushanim, like by mitaltlin, is not a function of the deficiency in the tfisa of the machzik, as we're saying right now, in the levush, in the marit, in the ritva. Rather, from the Rambam, it appears it's a function of how I view the chazak of karka itself. In whose possession is the karka? Who's sitting on the karka, so to speak? By mitaltlin, there's no question. You're holding the mitaltlin. So you're holding it because it's in your possession. You're holding it. It's in your hand. It's in your house. It's in your possession. You win. I am the markama, but no, you win because you are holding it. That's the chazak of mitaltlin. By karka, the fact that I'm sitting on the karka doesn't mean that I'm holding the karka. Holding the karka is not a literal thing. Where's your furniture? Where are you? You hold the karka by virtue of the fact that you have title of the karka. If you're established as the owner of the karka, you're known to have been the owner. You have a star that you bought it from someone else, and therefore you know it's known that you're the owner. By virtue of the Edom, by virtue of the star, by virtue of whatever it takes to establish Chetzes Marakama, let's assume even Darba Yom Echad, as some Rishonim say, then you are considered to be holding that karka wherever the karka is and wherever you might be. Listen to the Lashon HaRambam. In Perek Ches, the Rambam gives us the rule of Cheskes Metaltlin. In Perek Yud Aleph, the Rambam describes Cheskes Karka. Says the Rambam, Yud Aleph, Kol HaKarkos HaYiduos LeBaleyin. Any real estate that is known to be belonging to the owners of that real estate. Shehein Ata Tachas Yidei Acherim. And right now, they happen to be subject to someone else's living there, being there, squatting. Harehein Becheskas Baleyin. They are viewed to be, continue to be in the chazaka of the original owner. Keitzat, Reuven shay mishtamish b'chatzer, deach sha'am mishtamshim b'chatzer v'seyan, darba socher acherim, bone v'soser, doing his thing. Kam shim v'tarna l'avam achatzer zu tachas yedecha shalihu, schuri b'yadcha, o shu'ula o gzula. Says Reuven, shalcha haisa v'ata mechartali, onasatali v'matana. I know it was yours, but I got it from you. I acquired it from you. I bought it. And ain Adam with Shimon, so you do a low. Nishba Reuven has this v'yamim komo. That's if Shimon did not have Adam. Stami at a taina, it's mine. Reuven says, it was yours, but I got it. Then Reuven the squatter wins with a hesis. Avom hevi Shimon Adam shachatzu shelo haisa, harehi becheskas Shimon. The Omrim, Reuven, have a raya shemacharalach. Bring a raya that he sold it or gave it to you as a gift. Then go have your raya. Misalke nosa mimeno, malsir nosa l'shimon, api she'in Reuven mode, shimon she'i haisa shalosh, she'i edem l'shimon. The way it seems from the Rambam, the reason why you can't have a chazaka in the same way the chazaka is mitaltlin, you have a chazaka right away, is because the definition of being muhsik is not the same as by mitaltelin. Mitaltelin It's not that you can hold it because it's known that you're the owner. You hold it by holding it. Metalton, by definition, is it moves. You take it with you. We go here. You go there. It's under your arm. It's in your pocket. That's how you own something that's movable. And therefore, just the fact that you were once an owner, but it's now by somebody else, that doesn't give you any stake here to be viewed as it's in your possession. To the contrary, it's in his possession. Elamai, maybe you rent it to him, maybe you rent it to him, maybe he stole it from you. The answer is, no, as long as it's not from a Simcha Shel Haskir. So the assumption is that it wasn't given over to you, you know, as a loan or whatever, or that you stole it. The assumption is that it belongs to the person who's holding it. So he has a tfisa, he wins. That's his mentality. What was our question? Karka, equivalent case of karka, why can't the machzik win right away? Because, after all, he's on the karka. So I have a marakama, but he's on the karka now. The answer is no. It looks like he's on the karka right now, but who's muchzik is it? Who's really muchzik in the karka? The definition of being muchzik in the karka, of owning the karka, is not the one who's sitting on the karka. It's the one who's known to be the owner. The reach of the marakama is wherever the karka is, that's where I am. That's mine. How do you hold karka? You hold karka from afar. You don't hold karka by being there every 24/7. You hold karka because you have title of the karka. Different notion. You're having title of the karka. That's the way you hold the karka. You have a raya that you're the owner. It's known that you're the owner. That's how you own it. So if it's known that you're the marakama, it's known that you are the owner of this karka, the fact that someone else is there doesn't mean that he's a tafus, that he's a muhsik. So it's not that the problem in Lesson Gimushanim is the fact that I have a tfisa, but the tfisa is not enough of an indicator that it's yours. It's that it's still becheskes marakama. Wherever the karka is, it's becheskes marakama. What happens with Gimushanim? In the Rambam, it's very interesting. The Rambam next halacha goes on. It says, what happens with Gimushanim is now, what has changed? What has changed is, now we really are viewing you as the muchzik. You, the machzik, who's there for 3 years, you are viewed as the muchzik. How that happens, we'll have to see the nitty-gritty of it. But the picture before and the picture after is this. Before Gimushanim, the muchzik is really the marakama. So therefore, you don't have a tfisa, period. Not you don't have a tfisa that shows it's yours. Who's holding the karka? The marakama is holding the karka. After 3 years, because of the fact that he's known to be the owner, that's how it's viewed as belonging to you. That's how it's viewed as being in your possession, because it's known that you're the owner. That's the way it is with karka. When it comes to Gimushanim, however, says the Rambam, what happens after Gimushanim is Mamidim also Biad Ruvain, Bishab Ruvain Hesses, Ram Hoserizish was Hesses here. And then we have the Marakama becomes the Motzi. So again, Rabosai, you hear the difference between the first approach and the second approach. According to the first Mahalach, the problem in Karka Lesson Gimushanim is what? It's that the Tfisa is equivalent to Metalton in a case where the Tfisa doesn't work for Metalton. In a case of Tfisa like Godros, where the Tfisa doesn't indicate enough that it's yours, that's what you have by Karka. For all you know, you walked into someone else's land. That's the issue. According to the other approach, not the problem in the Tfisa, that it's not enough of an indicator. It's that, who's really holding it? The Marakam. Now, this makes it, you know, the fact that the Rishonim said he can become Marakam with one day, right? So it makes it more of a chiddush. The fact that that's called your own, you know. But once you have the assumption that you're the Marakam, that's it. So that's how you hold it. You hold it because you're known to be the owner. Yeah. There is another Mahalach, which maybe you want to elaborate on right now completely, but I want to just indicate it, and then I want to hopefully go a little bit more to the Mishnah. If you look in the Rashbam Adaf Mem Beis, the Rashbam seems to have another answer. Rabosai, all of these will have to fine-tune these svaras more as we go along. Just let it sit a little bit, let it try to digest it a little bit. I think there are two different ways to understand what's going on. Possibly a third way is in this Rashbam. The Rashbam on Daf Mem Beis, the Rashbam starts in Daf Chav Tes, right? Rashi's commentary ends at Daf Chav Tes, then everything gets a lot longer, right? And it's a lot more interesting reading the Rashbam. Rashbam is much more wordy than Rashi. The Rashbam writes on the Mishnah Daf Mem Beis, it talks about umnim, craftsmen, for example, who do not have a chazakah. When they claim that they bought it, they're not believed. Why? Because it could have just... So the Rashbam explains, what are we talking about here? Not cheskas shalashan. We're talking about cheskas metaltelin. And just as we talked about before, if the item is an item that could be very well lent or rented, then the fact that you're holding it doesn't give you cheskas metaltelin, because you could have gotten it by virtue of borrowing it. So too, this Uman could have had it in his possession because it was simply given to him to fix, to work on. So here the Rashbam, in discussing this, discusses the difference between Talton and Kaka. Take a look at what he says on Daf Mem Beis. The Rashbam says, Stam Uman lo shaycha v'metalteli v'cheskes shol shonem v'nem av v'mkakoy. Avo v'metalteli, misha hu muchzik b'shol chaveiro, afiu sho achas. Someone who's holding someone else's thing, even for one moment, you're holding it, it comes out of your possession, even the other one has an aid that it was his once upon a time, the one who's holding the metaltelin can claim, I bought it. The stam lokeach metaltelin mechavero below edim hukona ubelow star. And that's, you're not Neman. But what does the Rashbam say? In these extra words, the Rashbam seems to be trying to explain why there's a cheskas metaltelin right away, la'alter, unlike karka, which does not have a chazaka la'alter. These words seem to be answering that question. And what did the Rashbam say? The reason why cheskas metaltelin works immediately is because an ordinary person buys metaltelin, he does so without Edim and without a star. What do you think the Rashbam means here? Anyone? Yeah?
The fact that we expect someone who brought property to still have a star method.
Good. So the way the Rashbam seems to be saying, basically this is a Yisvah that we'll see coming up in Rishonim a lot, although it's not in the Gemara as much as it is in the Rishonim, it's a Gemara on the Gimel Beis, that there's such a notion called Achvi Shtarcha. Achvi means show me your star. Every time you buy a piece of karka, you always have a shtar. Whether the shtar was the method of kinyan, whether it was not the method of kinyan, but you draw up a shtar as a raya. But typically, karka has a shtar to testify, to say that you bought the land, that you own it because you bought it from him. And not having the shtar, therefore, is a strike against you, against what you're saying. Where's your shtar? You really bought it? So why don't you have where's your documentation? Where's your deed? Taltelin doesn't have a shtar. You know what a shtar, you buy a pen. You know what a shtar? Shtar is for something like real estate, not for metaltelin. Therefore, what the Rashbam seems to be saying is that the reason why you can't establish a chazaka immediately by karka is because by karka, we have a race against you called achli shtar. Where's your shtar? Again, it's a Gemara daf Lamed Gimel Beis, such a notion of Amin Alei Ach V'Shtarach. The Rishonim go to town with this idea a lot, to develop the idea that there's a chesaron called Ach V'Shtarach by Karka. Without 3 years, there's a strike against you. Possibly, Cheskes Gimushanim works, because as the Gemara was saying, Daf Chav Tes, this is not within the Mishnah here of Hochi Usha, but at least one way to understand Gimushanim is because, as those of you who are curious about it, so the Gemara, naturally, after 3 years, people feel secure and they don't hold on to the deeds anymore. So no longer do you have that problem of Achli Shtarcha. So the very point is that Kodem Gimushanim, there is a race of Achli Shtarcha. People generally hold on to the Shtar. So where is it? So that itself is the answer. Why can't you have chazaka by karka right away? The Rashbam told us the answer. We had before two explanations. Either the tefisa doesn't prove anything, you could have easily gotten into the karka, Or the way the Rambam might be saying that we view the karka as being the cheskas ban, wherever it might be, so your tfisa doesn't mean anything. It's not a tfisa. He's the muhzik. He's holding on. And now we have a third way to understand it. That kodem gimushanim, you have a problem. Where's your shtar? So you can't be viewed as a muhzik, because a muhzik would have a shtar, and that's how you hold karka, with the shtar. Achvishtar, that's the expression that's used time and time again. Achvishtar, show me the shtar. Now, you could see just simply that alone. Where's the shtar? It's like a strike against you. If you want to maybe embellish it a little bit, say as follows. You can't become a muhzik if you don't have the shtar. Because how do you hold karka? With a shtar. So you cannot be, by metalton, you don't need a shtar. So therefore, you can be viewed as holding the karka and presumed to be the owner without a shtar. Here, it's an oxymoron. How can it be viewed as a muhzik in the karka without a shtar? I mean, I'm just adding a little twist. In other words, stam, you could say, you can't have a chazaka because, after all, it's a race on your chazaka. I'm just saying a little differently. The fact that you don't have the shtar, so you can't become a muhzik without a shtar. So this is, I think, a third way to understand this distinction. Derech Aga, parentheses, just to give you a little bit of ideas just on this issue. We're talking about Cheskas Karka here, Gemushanim. We talk about Cheskas Metalkalin right away, the altar. This is just those who are going to learn Bava Basra more Bikiya stick, you should be aware. In the first parak, they're doing the Daf Yomi now, and tomorrow's Daf already, you have it. Something called Cheskas Tashmishin. Suppose you have a wall in your property, and I put beams on it. And I claim that you let me put beams on, beams on your wall. So there's a notion of chazak. I can establish a chazaka to be able to put beams on it. The question is, if I have lighter beams, do I have a chazaka for heavier beams? That's the Gemara Daf Hey in Bava Basra, Achzik Hurdi, Achzik Kshuri. Yes, no. Do we assume that a person makes a deal? It's not like limited. It's a deal for whatever. You can put anything you want. That chazaka, how does it come? How does it become established? Right away? Gimushanim? Anyone? Machokas Rishonim. Also, later on, you have a similar thing in the later Mishnah in Cheskas Abatim. Again, people Shcheinim, so you have one person extending something into the other person's Rishus, blocking a window, things like this, putting some sort of a drain system, whatever, these types of things that happen between people, and you establish a Chazaka that you can do it, because he let you do it. How long do you have to be doing it in order to be viewed as having earned the right to say, or the right, or that you can claim that he gave me the right to do it? We made a deal, and he said I can do it. So again, the question is, immediately, or gimushanim? The Rashbam really starts in Daf Chav Tes, but there's a Rashbam on Daf Hey, which is what's called Tosfos in the Rashi, on the fifth line, on Daf Vav, the wide lines, it says Tosfos. That Tosfos is really the Rashbam inserting something into Rashi. Okay, in that Rashbam, again, it's really Rashi, but the Rashbam inserted a comment there. He says, Kol chazoko shalogu. See, at the fifth wide line, Einam cheskas shaloshanim, du'oshayach shaloshanim, ela gabi cheskas karka. So the Rashbam states, matter-of-factly, that Cheskas Tashmishin can be established immediately. Right? Daf Hei. Daf Vav. However, if you look later in Cheskas Abatim, the Rashbam seems to say otherwise. The Rashbam says that Cheskas Tashmishin is Gimushanim. And the question is, what's the difference? The Mishnah later, In either event, the tour says in it's a major tashmish, not a light tashmish. The tour in Kuf Nun Gimel says the difference is, according to the Rashbam, if it's something which is major, then you write a star. You write a star, you need shalashanim for the chazakah. If it's a minor tashmish, like the Gemar Davav, then you don't write a star, the chazakah is ga'alta. Consistent with then what the Rashbam said in Daf Mem Beis. In other words, the issue of whether the chazakah is immediate or the chazakah is shalashanim is a function of whether you generally write a star or don't write a star. To put it in simple terms, if you write a star, you don't have the star, it's a strike against your chazakah ga'alta, you need 3 years. If you don't write a star, then it could be, in fact, be a chazaka right away. Okay, questions? Yeah. Different than the Rambam. The Rambam is a different idea. No, but see, according to the Rambam, you don't need any of that. You could say you are muhzik, but you have a problem. You can't become a muhzik without a star. So therefore, the problem lies in fact in order of the star. It's like a new consideration. The Rambam was saying something else. By metaltelin, you are muhzik because you're holding it. By karka, you're not a muhzik because you're sitting on it. Squatting on a karka doesn't mean that you're viewed as holding the karka. Who's considered to be holding the karka? The one who's known to be the owner of the karka. He's the one that's holding the karka. Metaltelin, I'm holding it because I'm physically holding it. You're saying that the shtar is an expression, and if you don't have the shtar, then you can't be viewed as good. You want to use that svar a little bit for the Rashbam. That's where I was going a little bit before, when I embellished the svar. I agree with you. I think you can say that too. It's not exactly the Rambam, but it's in a similar vein. Yeah. The Rambam is saying, pshat is, the karka is becheska, is the one who's known to be the owner. You're saying that you cannot become a muksik without the shtar, because that's how you hold the shtar. That's how you hold the karka. I accept what you say. You could say like that too. Yeah.
As far as you just mentioned the Rosh Hashanah elaborating on that, that was in regards to the Tafla? The whole idea of how.
Well, it's another world called Cheskas Tashmishin, and that's where you have a three way machlokas.
So
whether it's the altar or Gimushanim, right?
This applies both to Karka and the Tafla?
It's sort of like Karka. But it's sort of, I mean, it's not exactly. That's the question. In other words, to what extent do you own the wall? It's a big machlokas Rishon in these cases. Do you own the makom? The Rishon, these sugyas talk about what extent are you kone? You have a right to use it. Is that called karka? Do you own the wall? Do you own the karka, the place? There are different shittas Rishonim about it. It could be like this. It could be it's viewed as metaltin, but it still needs 3 years. Especially in light of the svar we just suggested now, because technically you write a star, so then even metaltelin, were you to write a star, you would need maybe 3 years. You could say that, or you could say it has a din like karka.
So our category is kind of dissolved. We don't really have karka versus
I understand. So you have to know how to define cheskas tashmishin. I agree with you. Rabosai, it's getting late. Let's just read a few more lines in the Mishnah, and then we actually have to go down mincha. Okay, so in any event, these are various mahalchim to understand why you need 3 years and you can't have less. Why 3 years works, we haven't really fully explained. Meanwhile, just state what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah starts by talking about these various things that are osa peris tadir, and it says you need shoshan miyom liyom. Interesting in Rashi, just on this, just a diuk and a Rashi, perhaps a slight diuk. Rashi comments, beis ha-shalchin, what is beis ha-shalchin? Beis HaShalchin means that there's an irrigation system, there is a spring in the field that you use to irrigate. Osa peris tadir, so it's constantly producing. Meaning, if you held on to it for 3 full years, Rashi is emphasizing because the case that comes afterwards is a case Rashi will explain is an abbreviated 3 years. It's not 3 full years. That's the Eino Miyom Uyom of Beis Habal. So if you have the Beis HaShalchin, for example, for 3 years, Ein Tzarech Lavi Shtar Mechira. You don't have to bring your star. V'im Iru Olea Baal Merishonim. Suppose the original owner makes a claim that it's his. V'zeh Omer Machar Tali V'avat Shtari. And he counters by saying, you sold it to me and my star is gone. Why does Rashi add V'avat Shtari? Yeah, I mean, Machar Tali. Right? I mean, good, because after all, we have to start, but Rashi needs to throw in that part of my counter response is of that story. I'm a little bit bothered by that. Why does Rashi need to add that? Cheskasa Moelis. If the Chazaka works for him, then love in Cheskasa Moelis go. So perhaps, in light of the Rashbam that we just said, that the whole point of what makes Gimel Shanim necessary, as opposed to Cheskas Metaltelin, is the fact that you draw up a star. So this is why Rashi is saying, what saves you with Gimel Shanim? Because you can claim of that story, and the Chazaka works for you to, despite the what would otherwise be the problem of Achli Shtarach, Gimel Shanim overcomes that. How it overcomes that, that we'll have to see. One mahalach is what Rabbi says in Daf Chavtes. Maybe it's something else we see initially in the Gemara, Hoche Usha, Ekshar Hamuad. But the problem that necessitated Gimel Shanim is the very fact that we have Mashtar. So Rashi, given that context, Rashi is not just simply giving you extra information that happens to be helpful. Rashi says it because it's exactly relevant to the point at hand. In other words, the, establishing Chazaka is a function of the fact that you wouldn't otherwise have a Chazaka because of the fact that you don't have your star. So Rashi says, but this is exactly what we're teaching, the Mishnah is teaching us here. In other words, if I respond and saying, I bought it from you, the Avat Shtari, Cheska Samuelis. L'masha, why did Rashi say Avat Shtari? You could say Avat, whatever Rayas, you know, I don't have any Rayas. The focus is on the Shtar, because that's exactly what the Chazak is supposed to do. It's taking care of the problem that would have existed without the Shtar. The Imrav in Chazkos Amu Elisko, and Rashi completes this, Fisha Kesha Amru Gilush Gimel Shanim Bechazaka, Kol Ha-Ra'ui, Lot Seis Mimena Gimel Shanim Amru. Rashi emphasizes the notion of Miyom Liyom. Rashi says you have to maximize all that you can get from those 3 years. I want you to really focus on these words of Rashi, and also the next Rashi. And when you get to the Tosis, you'll see, I think, that there's a very different way of understanding the mission that Tosis brings to bear on the second case of the Mishnah, as opposed to how Rashi may have understood the second case of the Mishnah. There are three cases in the Mishnah. The case of Osa Peres Tadir, the first Bava in the Mishnah, all those cases. The case of Sada Beis Habal, and then you have the Sada Ilan. Begin to think about exactly what's that middle case all about. First of all, Pshat-wise, Rashi says one thing, the Ran and the Rashba have a whole different Pshat in it. But even within Rashi's Pshat, I think there's two different ways to understand the lumdis of what exactly is being taught in that second case of the Mishnah. Consider these points in Mitzvah Shem for the day ahead. Good.
I'm going to put that.